Good morning. All right, good morning. Man, we're so excited to be back again here. I'll just tell you this, my wife and I, we've really enjoyed being here the past few years with y'all. We were just discussing the other day, we just feel comfortable here and we love your pastor and just his heart for the Lord and for missions and just been a good place and just seeing how all of you serve and pitch in and help. And, you know, I like to come to a church where people are willing to work, you know, and do something for the Lord. And so certainly have enjoyed that. And again, my name is Chad Robinson, if we aren't able to introduce yet, but my wife Heidi, again, as Pastor mentioned, from First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio, the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed. We've been in the ministry there for, it'll be 13 years in June that we've been there. And we love every minute of it. But we get to travel all around the country and get churches like yours involved in this ministry of Seedline, getting God's people's hands on the scriptures and getting a lot of scripture assembled and getting out to the missionaries all around the world. We have, as of now, probably over 300 churches that are involved in the Seedline ministry. And praise the Lord, last year was our most productive year, I guess you could say, as we were able to get out 11.3 million copies of scripture just through our Seedline churches. And so we praise the Lord for that and all of our Seedline churches. And of course, we give God all the glory for that. We printed 13.5 million altogether. Of course, our ministry prints whole Bibles and New Testaments as well. And we were able to send out several containers of scripture last year, several truckloads, obviously, of scripture. I think about 15 different languages last year that we were able to send out. We print about over 73 languages that we print as of now. And of course, which is great, but of course, there's still much work that needs done there. And of course, because of that, we also have a translation school at our church. And I say that is because if you ever feel God leading you in that area, we'd love to talk to you more about that. You know, there's so many people groups all around the world that don't have even just a portion of the Word of God in their language. But I'm grateful to be a part of getting those that do, getting them a copy of it. And so this has been a tremendous project. Not just here, you guys did a tremendous job as well. Of course, our goal was to do what, 30,000, I think it was. And you guys knocked that out of the park. You did 40,000. And so maybe I just need to keep bringing more scripture every time. I don't know. But I got to fix this box because I'm just like that. Okay. I'm a little OCD. But this particular, just getting scriptures to Ukraine in itself has, this God has just really shown me a lot about, you know, not that I knew it in my own life and things like that, but just kind of confirming his promises and his word. Just to kind of give you a little bit of testimony about that. I know we've done Ukraine in here before, I believe. But to kind of take it back, so probably 2019, I met a guy by the name of Ron Jackson. You were able to hear from him over the phone the other day if you were here. 2019, I think it was. He asked me about helping him getting scripture to Ukraine. He's like, I have this opportunity to work with Ukrainian soldiers in the military. He's originally out of Cleveland Baptist Church. And I think he worked with Ukrainians in the area as well, and Russians in the area. So he asked me about helping with the scriptures, and so I did. We helped him several times with Russian scriptures in Ukraine, because that's what a lot of them speak there. And then somewhere in the next year or so, he's like, Brother Chad, he says, like, there's a lot of things that are escalating between Russia and Ukraine, and that, you know, they're not really taking so much to the Russian scriptures anymore. You know, they want to go back to their main language, the Ukrainian language. And he's like, do you have any Ukrainian scriptures. I said, no, but we support a national there that is working on the translation. And he's like, okay. And so we kind of have we're talking back and forth, and I believe it was the fall of 2021. I might be getting my years mixed up, but I believe it was the fall of 2021. He calls me and says, you know, again, I'm asking about this. I said, I think we're getting close to getting this translation completed so we can use it, this Ukrainian one. He's like, well, you know, I'm going over, because he basically what he does is he goes over on these short-term trips and works, ministers to these soldiers there, and then comes back, okay? And again, he's telling me, like, things are escalating. And he's like, I'm going back in this, and this, I think it's fall 2021. He says, I'm going back in the spring. And I called him February of 22, right? Called him February 22, and I said, you know, we're getting very close. I think we get it by this month. He says, good, because I'm supposed to be going at the end of this month, something he had already scheduled already. And so so we go and print the Ukrainian scriptures. We finally get the translation. We print the scriptures. My wife and I go down to a small Christian school down in North Carolina. We'd never been to this before, this school, this church before. And they were able to, part of their project was assembling 5,000 of these Ukrainian scriptures, the ones like these ones, the ones that have the soldiers on them, okay? And of course, over that exact weekend that we're working on them is when the war escalated. It's when it's like, you know, this is a big deal. And Brother Jackson was supposed to have a group going that week to Ukraine with him that had a plane already. Well, with everything going on, basically his whole group backed out of going. But he says, Brother Chad, I still have to go. I still need to get these scriptures there. And so literally we got back in that late Sunday night or Monday morning, he met me there behind the print shop. And we loaded up his pickup with those 5,000 scriptures. And again, that was the very first week that the war really was going on. And those first 5,000 were able to get to the front lines that week. And just seeing God's timing and all that was amazing. And it just, again, just another example. He showed me how he wants his word to go out. He wants the gospel message to go out. And, man, what a privilege we have, you know, not just in line, but just even the people that we get to meet and the timing, you know, get put in our paths to give them the gospel, to give them the word of God. And so, man, it's been good. And I'm glad you guys are partnering with us to get these scriptures out. And so, of course, at the end of the main service, we're going to take some time. We're going to pray over these scriptures. So if you weren't able to be a part of the project over the past few days, today is your day to be a part of that. I know it is. It's the most important step we're going to be doing is actually be praying over these scriptures and just pleading with God to use them in a great way and get them in the hands of the people there. Of course, again, we have some that are going to be going directly to the soldiers, to the military there. And then we also have the other covers, those will be going to a lot of the citizens and people in Ukraine. And there's really, of course, because of the war and because of the conflict going on, there's been such a revival there in Ukraine. We were able to actually send scriptures there in 2019 to, I don't know if you've ever heard of a ministry called Couriers for Christ. We work closely with them. We print them the scriptures, and they work on doing distribution campaigns and have evangelistic meetings. Well, we did that again in 2019. We did that, and they were doing it in Kiev, and it was really, it didn't go well, if I could say it that way. Just people were kind of cold to the gospel and things, and not a good turnout. But wow, what a difference with everything going on in the people's lives there, and how open they are now to the word of God, to the gospel. And so churches are being planted. And Brother Jackson and I were talking too that, you know, we're praying the war ends soon, you know. And once that war ends, that's going to be quite an open door. And we need to be ready for that. And so We're actually talking possibly trying to get 100,000 or 200,000 New Testaments even after the war there. But if you would, just be praying about that. Be praying for the people there, praying that these scriptures get in the hands of the people there. All right. Well, this morning, let's open up our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I'd encourage you too, like your pastor mentioned, you're not very far from Milford, so if you ever want to come down and work in the print shop, we'd be glad to have you. We have volunteers that come all the time that help on our bindery line or help so the ladies go in the back room. They help with a lot of the some of the scriptures that like you guys did this weekend. And of course, many of you have been to El Paso too, and I'm glad many of you have been able to experience that as well. But I wanted to take us to Acts 17 for this reason, and kind of what I've already mentioned is just kind of just reaffirm just the importance of the Word of God and the importance of the message that's in it. This gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we see this. We could go to many different examples, especially in the book of Acts. When it comes to this, the example of Paul and the importance that that he put on this scripture and that in the gospel, and really just not just that, but just like the sense of urgency he had, and I think sometimes we need to kind of crank up our sense of urgency when it comes to getting the gospel out, and again taking advantage of open doors, whether it's in different places around the world or even in our own life personally. And so we're going to be in Acts 17, and let's do this. I'm going to read here, Acts chapter 17. It says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures," the Tanakh, "opening and alleging that Scriptures must needs have suffered." Opening alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas and of the devout Greeks and a great multitude and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these also do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. And so as I look at this text and this example here this morning, there's a few things that I'd like to point out this morning that I think that would be a help to us. And I'd first like you to look at in Acts 17 and verse 2. And the first thing I see here in Acts 17, verse 2, is that the one thing that Paul did is that he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. He reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. It says in verse 2, it says, "And Paul," and then it says this, "as his manner was, went unto them, and the three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." Again, it starts off saying, "as Paul," as his manner was. It's saying that what Paul did was that he went to the Jews first, and that's what he did. That was his routine, and it also showed this. It showed that he retained a great affection for the Jews, even when he was busy reaching many Gentiles. He was still burdened for the Jews, and I thought about that. And I thought about my own life. I thought, man, I need to be burdened for somebody. I need to be burdened for somebody. And I think we all need to be burdened for someone. It goes on to say in verse 2, it says, as his manner was, and then it says this, went in unto them. And so we can see from that we saw there's this burden that he had for the Jews. It changed from a burden to what? It changed to an action. And again, that's something that we need to look in our life as well, is that we just can't leave with just that burden, but we need to put action to that burden. We need to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to act on that burden. I'm going to reach out to that person. I'm going to do something about it. You know, what is that something? It may just be, again, presenting in the gospel. It may be a financial thing. It may be going to give. It may be going to go. Can I suggest to you today that we should also be giving and going as we look at that? The text goes on to say this in verse 2. It says, and his manner was, went unto them. And then it says this, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures or the Tanakh. This is what he was doing. This word reasoned means this, to say thoroughly, that is to discuss something, to be, maybe to argument a little bit, to exhort something, to preach, to reason. This word reason, that's what this word means. And so we see that he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. You know, he did not have this complete book that we have today. He didn't have this complete book. We are privileged to have the complete Word of God today. But what they had was the complete Word of God at that time. And, you know, you think about that, and as he took those scriptures and reasoned, and think about the subject that he was trying to reason them with. And so, obviously, he went to the Old Testament, and there's all kinds of verses that I could imagine that he went to, but surely he went to Isaiah 53. So if you would, just keep your spot in Acts 17, and let's look at Isaiah 53 here for a moment. Isaiah 53 says, who hath believed our rapport? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He no form, no nor comeliness. And when he shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as if were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid unto him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of the people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet he pleased the Lord to bruise him. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteousness servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And lastly, it says this, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This is part of what Paul shared with them. This is what Paul had. This was the word of God that he shared. And he shared it. It says that Paul shared it. He reasoned with them for 3 Sabbath days. I wonder how many of us would have the patience to do that, to reason with somebody for 3 different days. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Paul was faithful. Paul was patient. He planted, he watered. He did not give up. He did not give up. You know, I think about us again, you know, how much easier would it be for us just to give up? And how many times have we given up as we've shared the gospel with them and not gone back to them? Here's Paul giving us a great example to continue to be faithful and to continue to go back and to open up the scriptures and share what it says to those that need to hear. Again, he was there for 3 Sabbath days. And when God lays a place or a person or a people group on our hearts, we need to stay at it. We need to stay at it. We need not get distracted by a roadblock, but continue to get people the gospel, to preach them the gospel. Again, we have the tool we need. We have the scriptures. In verse 2, we saw this, that he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And then verse 3, I want you to see this, and I want you to see that he reasoned with them with the gospel. He reasoned with them with the gospel. Let's look at verse 3. It says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And so we see that it says that he, opening and alleging, that means to expound and to present the truth. And again, that's what he's doing here. And it's based off what is written in the scriptures of what he needed to accomplish. That of Jesus, the death, the burial, the resurrection of what Jesus did. He's saying, hey, this, what the scriptures are saying here, this is this guy. This is the guy. This is Jesus. Based off what is written in scriptures, again, he needed to accomplish the death, burial, and resurrection of what Jesus did. And can I say this, that he said he would do what he, according to the scriptures, the gospel, the good news. He finished his task there for us. Lord, help us to not take that for granted, what he's done for us. Can I tell you what he's done for me and what he's done for you? He humbled himself to become flesh and to take our death penalty for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day, he had victory over the grave. How was that? Because he was who he said he is. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, the Son of God. He did what he said he was going to do, and that was to be our Savior. And so again, as we look at this passage here this morning, we see that Paul here, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, but then he also reasoned with them out of the gospel. In verse 4, I'd like you to see this, that because of that, some received the gospel. Some received the gospel. In verse 4, it says, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief woman, not a few. And so it says there in verse 4, it says, some of them believed. That means that they received the gospel. And then it also says there, it says they consorted with them, which means they communed with them. They associated with them after their conversion with Paul and Silas. Just like in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, it says this, and this they did, but as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And so again, we see that some received the gospel. Aren't you glad that at least some received the gospel? I know I am. You know, we look at this and see that when some receive the gospel, that there's lives are changing and directions of their lives are changing and that God is being glorified through it all. And so it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time to hear and to see that people are getting saved and receiving the gospel. It's an awesome opportunity, a rejoicing time. But unfortunately, we know this, that even as some receive the gospel, that some will reject the gospel. Some will reject the gospel, and not only will some reject the gospel, but some will revolt against the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 15 says, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they pleased not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. And again, some will reject the gospel. Some will also revolt against the gospel. Again, we see that in verse 5, it says, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city of an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And so again, we see that, again, some will reject the gospel. You know this, that there will always be those who unfortunately will believe not and reject the gospel. Can I say this? When that happens, do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged to the point where you give up moving forward with the gospel. You know, the world we live in today, not only are they rejecting the gospel, but they're revolting against the gospel. You know, there's a difference, you know. Rejecting might be something like this. It may be something like, you know what? No, thank you. That's not for me. Revolting is a completely different thing. Revolting is, why are you here? And I'm going to make sure you're not coming back here again. And we see that today in our world today. And we see that here in the time here that Paul is in. And one thing that I've noticed is this, is that the truth creates conflict. Truth creates conflict. As we think about what actually is truth and what it is. Quickly, let's look at John 15. In verse 20, John 15 and verse 20 says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But in all things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Truth creates conflict. As we look at this specific account here, that we see that some Jews prayed and pitied, and some envied and hated. And then there was those Jews that revolted. They set the city in an uproar. They put people in fright and they began to riot. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? But some will reject the gospel. Some will revolt against the gospel. But again, remember that some will receive the gospel. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, we see this. There was a major reaction to the gospel. A major reaction to the gospel. In verse 6, it says, "And when they had founded them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." These that have turned the world upside down. Again, we see that there was a major reaction to the gospel. You know, I hope one day that your church is known as somebody has turned the world upside down. The gospel itself, you think about the gospel and everything it is so contrary to the world. It is so contrary to the rest of this world. It's unbelievable. In fact, it's the exact opposite. You know why? Because it changes everything. The gospel literally changes everything. Can I tell you this morning, if you want to make an impact on a major headline this morning, if you want to make an impact on the world today, you want to see a major reaction in the world, do this. Start sharing the gospel. Start sharing the gospel. Start sharing the word of God. And you know what? If you want to see changes in the things that we get all excited about, we see on the news, about maybe abortion rates, or you want to see a change in gender identity or homosexuality or in feminine masculinity, you name the headline, whatever it is, can I tell you this, that no laws are going to change it all from happening. Do you know what's going to change it? The gospel. The gospel. And so let's try reasoning with people out of the scriptures. You want to change the eternal destination of your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers? Let's try reasoning with them out of the scriptures. Lastly, I see this out of this text is Acts 17 and verse 8. It says, "And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Imagine that. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. And so what I see in this last part of this verse, this last part that we're looking at this morning, is that they received the word of God in a new place. Of course, this new place, it was Berea here. And as I see this part, and I see Paul's actions here, I'm reminded of a couple of things. You know what, Paul, when Paul left there, you know what he could have said? You know, we got a lot accomplished. He could have said that. He said, we got a lot accomplished, but you know what? I'm also causing a lot of problems, okay? Maybe I just need to back off. Maybe I just need to tone it down. Maybe I just need to change my way of thinking. You know, there's all kinds of directions that Paul could have done. But what did he do? He kept going forward. Can I tell you this morning, don't be content with what God is doing, what he's allowed you to be a part of. Continue to try to do more. We could have been content with doing 30,000 scriptures the other day and met our goal. But you guys did everything that we could possibly do over the weekend, which was 40,000 scriptures. I mean, okay, that's great. But think about that. That's 10,000 more people, 10,000 more Ukrainians that are going to have an opportunity to know about Jesus Christ in their language. I mentioned to you the other day that in a lot of places, 7 people read one copy. So that may be 70,000 opportunities. We just don't know. But I want to say this morning is don't be content with what's been accomplished, but also this, don't be discouraged about what hasn't. Just continue to work. Just continue to move forward. Just continue to be obedient to what God has given you to do. And that we need to remember, we need to continue to remind ourselves to share the gospel message. Continue to reason with people out of the scriptures. You know, put the investment in like Paul did. What did he do? He went back and back again and back again. Remember that some will receive it, some will reject it, and some will even revolt against it. But if you want to turn this world upside down for the cause of Christ, if you want to see a change in the eternal destination of your friends and your family and your coworkers or even people groups, we must continue to try to reason with them out of the scriptures. These scriptures that God has given us, his holy word. You know, I know your pastor is going through 1 Peter, and I'm reminded that it says that we are peculiar people. That means we are people set apart. And that's what this is all about. This is because the people that set apart has a special responsibility as well. I know I've shown this to you guys before, but you could look back and even the Old Testament that it's always been the holy hands have handled the holy things. And we've been given a great responsibility. And we need to take it seriously, this responsibility to preserve the scriptures, to get out the gospel message, and have a sense of urgency like Paul does. It says, hey, I'm going to do as much as I can in this town, and when I can't do it anymore, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the next place. I'm going to do the next opportunity and reason with people out of the scriptures. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for yourself. Thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you that you've given us this holy word. Thank you that we have the opportunity to reason with people out of the scriptures. Lord, help us to take advantage of that. I pray, I know this, it's a Sunday school hour, but Lord, I pray this morning if there's someone here this morning that has rejected the scriptures and what it says, God, that they would consider what it says about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Maybe there's someone here today that has rejected giving the gospel to somebody. You've placed a burden on their heart, but they just haven't taken that step. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would challenge their hearts in that area today. And Lord, just as much as been accomplished this weekend, Lord, help us to continue to be challenged to do much, to get these scriptures out to a lost and dying world, to get people the very word of God in their language so they can have a relationship with you and that you can be glorified through it, Lord. Father, we thank you for the time together. We pray for the next hour, Lord. And we pray that all these things are glorifying to you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.